I suppose I could wish you all a happy new year. Now, before you think I have lost it, let me explain. No, it's not January the 1st, and it's not Chinese New Year, nor any other cultures. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, which marks the first day of the church calendar year, which is different to others. The new year of the church calendar and the beginning of the church new year. In contrast to Lent, which is always a somber season of fasting, of prayers, of reflection, meditation, and remembering the suffering of Christ. Now, the weeks that leading up to Christmas is different. It's full of jubilation, of festivity. You just have to walk around outside, you pick that up. Now, no sooner has Advent got underway, which we start today, we're headlong into all those carol singing and services that by the time it gets to the point of Christmas, we are all caroled out. And I think we are poorer for not remembering what Advent is all about. Now, in Advent, the church looked back to celebrate the incarnation or the birth of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise to deliver his people, and that's include you and I, from sin, from Satan, and from death. That is the remembering part of the event. We rejoice at the word that become flesh and dwell among us, full of grace, full of truth, as Apostle Paul says in his writing. Now, what is often neglected is that Advent celebration also look to the future, not just to Christmas and beyond. But what is that future? What is that future? Now, the term Advent translates from the Greek word parousia, a word that in the New Testament always speaks of the Messiah's second coming. Second coming. Now, Advent looks forward to the final realization of all that Jesus' incarnation at Christmas put into motion. Started way back and carries on until the future. For this reason, instead of just talking about the birth narratives, and of course, someone put that very nice nativity thing. That's the birth narratives. Advent sermons often center on the eschatological passages like today one in Luke 21. Talk about what might happen in the future. Some not very nice things happen, but also some very good things to happen. Like many things in the Bible, we need to look both backward as well as forward. The whole Bible is all about past, the present, and the future. Because you and I are born for the present, but reborn for the future. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, it says, "For you," referring all of us, "die, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Appear with him in glory. So therefore, let us not give ourselves up to the temporary things that we see or experience in this world, but for the eternal things that are far, far more important. Advent is not about Christmas, though there is that component. You know, there's the Advent calendar, but but then you know, the kids, you do it every day. You open one, and there's chocolate in there or some other things in it. But this is not what Advent is just about. Nor is this about preparing for Christmas. We do that right now. We plan ahead. What do we have for Christmas dinner, a lunch, whatever. That's fine. But it is not even just counting how many sleeps to go before we arrive at Christmas. Now, the hymns, the songs, the readings that we often use during the season of Advent usually center on two things. One is about the birth of Jesus, and we anticipate, in that sense, his birth. But it's also waiting, so that is the waiting of the first coming. That's the birth narratives of the birth of Jesus. But it's also waiting about the second coming, which is far more important right now for us, because what has happened is in history. And he will come to put all things right on this earth. So how can we make wise and prayerful sense of it all? And what about going through Advent year after year? Think of a bicycle wheel. It goes round and round and round. Like every year, we go round and round, we start Advent, then we hit Christmas, and then come back again, and all that round and round. But it is also moving forward, not standing still. So it is true for our church year, every year, that we go round the circuit of Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost. You got all that? That's our year. We go through every year. We are familiar with it. But we are not simply, and we must not simply going round and round the same topic and never get anywhere with what we have supposed to hear, to learn, and to understand, and to act upon. We are signing on as part of God's larger project. We should not stay small, but we have to think of what God has, the mighty plan, the larger project for everything else. God's forward purposes, his plan for the whole creation to be renewed, so that, as the prophet said, the earth will be full of knowledge and glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. That is the event hope. The first candle today lit, the purple one, is often known as the prophet's candle, but also the meaning behind it is Advent hope. This is what I'm talking about today. So what is Advent hope? We need to distinguish of how the word hope is used in the world or in a general sense, and how it's used in the scriptures in the Bible. Hope can mean quite a few things to different people. Wishful thinking. I hope snow Christmas in New Zealand. It probably won't happen. Positive, a kind of, you know, optimism. Say, oh, the best is still yet to come. And then, of course, there is this statistics and this probability of what may happen, what will happen, what could have happened, and so on. But this is not the way the scripture presents hope to us. Here, there's one working definition in the scripture I came across. That is to say, what is hope? What is Advent hope? The expectation of coming good, what's good is that it's coming, based on the person and the promises of God. I like that. Expectation, what is to come, that is good, but based on not other things, but the person of God and the promises of God. And I like that definition. Here's another one from Eugene Peterson. He translated the Message Bible, and he's no longer with us, of course. Hope, he said, hope is not just about the future. Hope is about the present. It obviously has to do with the future, but it is a virtue which is cultivated in the present. It connects the two coming of Jesus, the birth and the second coming, so that we are now participating in them, in this season of our lives. We are not just remembering the one and believing in the other. We are participating, and I think the key word is we are participating in the continuity of the coming hope. Hope is like event. It's all about now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. And finally, one more quote from Martin Luther. He said, "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope. The question is not, do you hope, but what do you put your hope in?" I like that too. It's not that we hope or not hope, but what kind of hope are we placing? So this year, my dear friends, in Advent, what do we put our hope in? You may have lots of plans. You may have lots of ideas. You may have wishes to yourself, families, and so on. So what do we put our hope in? To say our hope is in God is to say four things. Let me very quickly run through that. First, our hope is that Jesus will turn and make all things new. That's the hope, expectation that it will happen. The second coming, the Messiah will return in glory. Wow, looking at the cloud and then he comes arriving. That would be fantastic. He will come. That is the hope. Hope is based on the past, because what has Jesus done on the cross? He dealt with sin. He dealt with death. He dealt with all that holding us back. We have the hope of the future. Basically saying, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus has done all that for you and I. So that is one part of the Advent hope. Secondly, our hope is that in the meantime, Jesus is with us here and now, even in times of suffering. He didn't just go back to heaven and just look down from us and say, yeah, I see you. He is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So that while we're on earth, while we're journeying life, while we may be even suffering pain and all kinds of things, Jesus is with us. That is the hope that you and I hold on to. Despite circumstances, despite all kinds of things that happen to our body and whatever else, there is that hope because Jesus is with us. And Jesus has been through it all. The ultimate pain and suffering that beyond measure, beyond understanding. My friends, that is what we are holding on to. The Advent hope. The third one, our hope is that Jesus will use our suffering to form us into people of love. Not only that, that we will co-rule with him later when he returns. Isn't that great? We may have to face suffering, and all of us have all kinds of things that we have to face, challenges. But, God is shaping us and training us and helping us to be strong, to be loving, right? When we experience certain things such a way, we can then help those understand the same kind of sufferings. And not only that, we are co-heirs. That's what the scripture says. We are going to rule with Jesus Christ together. And that is the hope that we're holding on to. And that is the expectation. Right? Even when suffering is most acute, it is not in vain. No suffering are in vain because God has his perfect plan. And the fourth one, our hope is that Jesus will bring forward good from that future that would into the messy world that we have now, that will bring us into the present. So we don't just talk about only good things happen, but good things can happen to us in life as well. Remember, Jesus often talked about the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is near. In fact, he's really talking about himself, that the kingdom is now and not yet. So always that component. It's here and now in the yet to come. Right? Let me bring it all together. My friends, this is our Advent hope. Advent hope. Not just lighting the candle, but it's a good reminder. The hope that we hold, the expectation that we have, that Jesus will return for sure. That we are not alone on this earth, that even though we may be suffering, but we are not facing it alone. Christ is with us. And the good will come as God has promised, because the expectation is based on the person of God and the expectation and the promises of Him. So I believe the invitation of Advent is to set our hope back to Jesus when He all started, when He was born into the world. But during this season, we are waiting Christmas. We also have this hope that it will come in the future. Not just a simple reenactment of the nativity scene, but it is something that we can cling and hold on to. It is a time of renewal for each and everyone to enlarge our hopes, to see the big picture of God, and then to prepare this, receive this mystery that sometimes we may not be able to see so clearly now. But with eyes of faith that we have, through the humble birth of Jesus that happened so long ago, which started then. So, the elements of hope is that we have the expectation of the future to come, but we have to trust in that journey until we reach the future. And while we are here, we patiently await for that time. May the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the words from Paul in the book of Romans. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have this incredible, incredible hope that is based on the past, because what we have seen in your love and your doing. But while we are waiting here in this present time, we have this future hope to hold on to. It is all about the now and the not yet. So help us, Lord. Guide us through with wisdom and strength. Sustain us so that we have this hope of expectation that is to come. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.